107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. The return of President Trump. Donald Trump back in the White House after Monday's swearing in on the Russia-Ukraine war. He said Zelensky wants to negotiate an end to the hostilities. Putin, not so sure.
He's telling me he wants to make a deal. Zelensky wants to make a deal. I don't know if Putin does. He might not. I don't know. And he should make a deal. I think he's destroying Russia.
We saw him do some executive actions. Getting stuff through Congress is going to be much, much more difficult given the narrow majority. He's got the majority, but it's oh so narrow.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. Now former Vice President Harris and husband are in Southern California surveying fire damage. Their L.A. home survived the Palisades fire.
We are blessed. Our home is standing. We were under a mandatory evacuation, and it was lifted. And just a couple days ago, we're able to go back.
This is ABC News. The Los Angeles area bracing for the return of hot, dry Santa Ana wind, triggering a red flag warning with a particularly dangerous situation enhancement.
Dire warnings are being given here for the winds that will blow tonight into Tuesday. James White at the National Weather Service.
You could see gusts of 70 to 80 miles an hour.
They're expected to be widespread and extremely dry. The relative humidity down to 2%. People across Southern California are being told to have go bags ready in case of wildfires. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Fire behavior analyst Dennis Burns says firefighting aircraft may not be able to get off the ground if the wind's too powerful.
With those strong winds, aircraft may not be able to be used on the incident. Once those winds get up beyond 30, 40 miles an hour, that very much limits what the aircraft can do.
Containment of the two biggest fires in the Los Angeles area put at 87% and 59%. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers are moving up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers moved up in the national AP Top 25 thanks to a string of wins, including beating USC over the weekend. Wisconsin now ranked 18th in the nation. They'll play UCLA tomorrow night. Marquette still highly ranked, moving down from 7th to 10th in the nation after losing to Xavier over the weekend, their first loss in the Big East Conference. Head coach Shaka Smart.
Congrats to Xavier. They came in here with phenomenal force and aggressiveness. I did think our guys showed incredible character, resiliency, fight to make it one possession. Didn't get it done.
NFL Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, 38-year-old Ben Johnson, is headed to Chicago. He'll sign the paperwork tomorrow to become the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. The Lions were eliminated by Washington over the weekend. In Atlanta, it's Ohio State against Notre Dame tonight in the title game for the College Football National Championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, you know it's a slow holiday weekend at the box office when a movie that was released 5 weeks ago is number one. Mufasa, The Lion King, has been ranked one or two since its release on December 20th. And this past weekend, the film brought in almost $12,000 to lead the way at the domestic box office. Mufasa barely edged out the number two film over the weekend, Sony Pictures' One of Them Days, which reviewed incredibly well and brought in $11.6 million last weekend. The comedy about two girls trying to make rent, starring Kiki Palmer and SZA, is a surprise hit. Wolfman finished in third place in its opening weekend with just under 11 million and mediocre reviews. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 actually moved up a spot from number 5 last week to finish in fourth with about $8.5 million, and it was Den of Thieves 2, which opened at number 1 last week but had a huge drop-off and finished with about $6.5 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, partly cloudy, bitter cold, a low of 15 below, wind chills to 30 below. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, high 5 above. Some flurries and snow showers for Tuesday night into Wednesday, high upper 20s. Currently, it's 4 below.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by author of The Meet the Parents Story, Laura Enright, and Meet the Parents creator, Greg Liana. Then herbalist Mason Hutchinson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network to help us make sense of all of the chaos and moving elements of this next Trump administration. Every Monday at 3 p.m., I'm going to be joined by some very smart folks from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. My next guest, I'm very happy and humbled to bring him back to the show. You've heard from him before, my friend, and now a friend to each and every one of you. His name is Colin Seeberger. He's the Senior Advisor of Communications at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, here to talk about, I don't even know what you call what we watched this morning. Maybe the billionaire fest that was the 47th president's inauguration this morning. It was wild.
Yeah, I don't know if we were celebrating the transition of power in this country or this was just groveling at the feet of the broligarchy. It was really incredible to see some of the, most wealthy people in the history of the world be getting, positioned right behind the president, right behind the vice president. Meanwhile, you have members of his cabinet being pushed further back. You have members of Congress not even be able to get into the room. Governors, people like Brian Kemp, people like Governor Abbott of Texas, allies of the president, right, aren't even able to get a foot in the door because Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, it was incredible. And it really just, I think, underscored for folks who is a priority for Donald Trump. And I think it's a real warning sign to Americans as to, what may be coming over the course of the next 4 years.
I couldn't agree with you more. I wanted to ask you a question, Colin, about like these two competing ideas or lines of commentary that at least are floating around in my head, and I think a lot of people's. One is the fact that President Biden, including Vice President Harris, President Obama, former President Clinton, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton showed up and participated in today's events, and why, at least in my opinion, it was the right thing to do, because this is about the office of the President of the United States. It's about being able to criticize our government and institutions and yet still show respect for our democratic processes, right? That at that same time, you have a crass ass who never shows any class, right? Like denigrating the former president that's sitting right behind him. So this idea And I think it plays out on different levels, right? That we can criticize and demand more from our institutions, and yet understanding that our democratic processes those things have to be improved and yet respected in these moments of transition and these pivotal tipping points. It's difficult. It's not easy, right? Because there's not just one line of thought here. We've got to deal with a bunch of competing ideas at the same time.
Yes. While I understand perhaps the instinct of some folks to want to take a pass, particularly people like former Speaker Pelosi, who was hunted down in the U.S. Capitol 4 years ago by the president's supporters. Do I understand? Do I empathize with the decision to not attend? Yes. Do I also recognize that Donald Trump, the American people just voted for him? I think that kind of the first step in healing is acknowledging, you have a problem, right? And that's why I think for Democratic leaders who chose to attend, I think it's an important first step. It's an important picture for the American people to see that, you know, we have these political differences, but that doesn't mean that we can't continue to respect the will of the people and also make progress where, we're able to find common ground.
Yes. And here is the thing that I think, based on his inaugural address today, that leaps to the top of my mind. And that is, you ran on a platform committing to help the middle class. And yet it seems one of the first things that you're interested in doing is actually rolling back rights for many people, and that there will be a lot of things coming. I don't know what the raids are going to look like in Chicago, LA, New York this coming weekend. I don't know what form all of this will take, but the idea that we're coming for your rights, and frankly, some of his promises in his inauguration to do that, I think should merit pause for people. And hey, is this actually serving the American people? How does this serve and better the working people and the regular middle class that he promised to help lift up?
So I think that's actually my big takeaway from the speech this morning is, you know, you look at all the ads that Donald Trump ran on air from his campaign during the election, you know, a lot of them were really focused on, we need to lower the cost of living. We need to lower prices. Inflation is killing people. People feel more squeezed than ever. And yet, you know, the guy was ticking off his day one priorities list. And he's talking about, we need to crack down on DEI and gender this, that, the next, and bureaucrats this, and not, or, you know, or, hey, we're going to invade Panama, right? And try to seize the Panama Canal, right? All of these things are meant to be a distraction from the fact that the guy doesn't have a day one agenda or a 4-year agenda to lower the cost of living, to bring down grocery prices. You played a clip just a few minutes ago where Donald Trump was talking about putting the American flag in Mars. You're telling me we have the money, we have the resources to be, underwriting Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos sending people to Mars, but we don't have the money to make your groceries a little bit cheaper at the end of the week? Give me a break.
Well, and that's, to me, that this point at which you come to, this inflection point, where if you look at the executive orders that he promised to execute this morning in his inaugural address, and we can grant that there is a problem at the southern border and with our immigration system. It doesn't work well. It's not efficient. It's not effective. And so,
we're the wealthiest nation in the history of the world.
Yes.
It's fair for people to say we should have a secure border.
Absolutely. And after you get past that, like, yes, let's work to secure the southern border. Well, let's invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. What are you actually going to build concentration camps? Okay, well, I'm sure that'll be come on the cheap. The plant a flag on Mars. Yep, that's super cheap. Declare an energy emergency. Wait a minute. Under the Biden administration, we produced more oil and natural gas than ever in our nation's history. What are you actually even talking about? I'm going to tariff and tax foreign countries. Well, tariffs aren't paid by foreign countries. They're paid by the importing businesses. I fail to see how that's going to work. Again, all in the service of reducing tax burdens for the wealthiest among us. Censorship. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that like DEI, censorship, and all these things, that's really what's going to move the needle for the American middle class. Like, none of it actually... The closest he gets is the tariff and tax foreign countries, which is a lie because that's not how it works. Everything else had nothing to do with helping middle class families put more dollars in their bank account and do better. Nothing. Nothing.
Or make government work better. More efficiently, right? You know, I mean, you brought up immigration. You know what? Let's dive into this for a second. Everything that Donald Trump laid out today is not a solution for actually making the immigration system work. It's not, you know, how do we make sure that we have a secure border? It is completely close everything. It is, you know, getting rid of pathways to actually have an organized and an orderly immigration system so we know who is coming into and out of the country. Take, for instance, today, you know, they announced that they are going to or it was reported that the president is going to sign an executive order that is going to terminate the use of CBP-1, which allows people to basically make appointments with immigration enforcement at the border. So that way, either they can have an orderly process for entering the country, right? People showed up to their CBP-1 today. And they're told, no, your appointment is no longer, you know, no longer moving forward. All of it is, how do we basically destroy the entire system and make it not work and then shout that we've got problems and, you know, try to use that as a political cudgel against the man's perceived political enemies? It's ridiculous.
Well, and it's that sort of gets right at the heart of the issue, right? Like, blow it up and destroy it and then act like somebody else made it, like that someone else alone created the problem. This has been a problem that administrations have been trying to address for literally decades in our country to little to no effect because we allow the politicization to keep us from actually doing something. And by the way, every law enforcement expert that I have ever worked with or spoken to about the concept of mass deportation and immigration raids into communities and businesses and rounding people up say, oh my goodness, please don't do that because it will make it so much harder to keep communities safe or to improve safety in communities that are struggling with a lot of violence because everyone will be afraid of us and no one will talk to us. And that's when you're running on a public safety platform and you do the thing that law enforcement experts say is actually going to decrease public safety. It's a little bit of a hard sell. We're going to come back with my very special guest, Colin Seeberger. He's from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to talk more about Donald Trump's priorities for his second term and how they're going to impact you and your family. So keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me and it's like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Joining us, my name's Maggie Dawn, host of this The Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a special guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. His name is Colin Seeberger. You can find an expert from the Center for American Progress Action Fund with me every Monday at 3 p.m. to help make sense of all the nonsense. And certainly we heard a bucket full of it this morning from the 47th president while standing in front of a grouping of billionaires and his family. It was like Donald Trump, family and billionaires, and then his cabinet. And then, you know, like the rest of the Congress people and everybody, you just sit with the regular folks. And the real regular folks, you know, the 95% of us, they were stuck in the hockey stadium down the block. Kind of unbelievable. Colin, let's pick back up where we left off. It looks like he's going to be moving forward with a number of executive orders today, probably most notably in the immigration space. What else it comes to the top of your mind as most alarming for Wisconsinites and regular Americans?
Reports out today that the president is going to be moving on day one to pull us out of the Paris Climate Agreement. This is, I think, really not a sign of strength. I think it is, frankly, a sign of weakness. And it's also, you know, pulling America back, you know, from a real leadership position. You know, I think really puts our cities, our states like Wisconsin, businesses and communities that are being, you know, ravaged more and more by climate related events. You know, in Wisconsin, there were the tornadoes last year, right? There's, you know, I think a number of different kind of markers, like we saw the Great Lakes have kind of record low ice right now. We are seeing all of this play out in real time. And so to see, you know, the president moving quickly to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement, right, I think, you know, is a real abdication of not just American leadership, but really throwing all of global climate action into chaos.
Yeah, it's again, when you stack up the things that he is saying are his priorities for day one against the campaign promise to help lift and elevate the middle class, and you look at what what the impacts of what he's doing will be. And it's actually going to hurt the middle class, like deporting millions of people, if it can even be done, while, you know, violating all kinds of fundamental constitutional ideals and precedents, is going to make things more expensive, right? Moving to a tariff-based system is going to make things more expensive. Pulling back from our support of Ukraine will only lead to further Russian aggression and the expenditure of even larger amounts of dollars, right? And the weakening of our allies, requiring the expenditures of even more larger chunks of dollars. Moving from taxes to a tariff system just taxes the middle class more while giving breaks to the billionaire. I'm losing the thread here, Donald. How is any of this helping regular Wisconsinites or regular people? None of it does. It's all just distractionary culture war stuff.
Totally. I mean, the guy is the king of talking out of both sides of his mouth. You know, he can't talk about, you know, wanting to be the president of law and order and keeping our community safe. And yet at the same time, you know, networks are reporting today that the new Trump Justice Department is going to pull out of January 6th related cases, including more than 300 felony related cases that have, you know, involve felony crimes like police officers, among other violent acts. And so, you know, these are the kind of folks that we're talking about getting a blanket, you know, a blanket kind of pass and say, hey, don't worry about it, because at the end of the day, it was all for Donald Trump. But you're exactly right. I mean, whether it is, you know, talking about Martin Luther King Jr. And his legacy, and yet at the same time, making it harder to actually execute on his vision, the guy, again, is the king of talking out of both sides of his mouth. And it does nothing to make people's lives better.
Yeah, and even down into the sort of issues of the moment, right, natural disaster emergency responses, while not mentioning climate at all. It's like, well, say what you will about whatever you think about the responses to the LA fires. That doesn't happen without all of this climate degradation as precondition, overbuilding, overdevelopment, you can go on and on and on. It's not one cause for any of this stuff. It's numerous causes. Here in the state of Wisconsin, local communities are facing tens of millions of dollars in infrastructure repair and shore up that has largely been not just caused by, but destruction accelerated by environmental degradation and natural resource depletion that is showing up on the tax bills in each and every one of us, so that we're spending more to shore up our infrastructure here in the state of Wisconsin and have less dollars for the things that middle-class people need, like ensuring that our public schools are funded adequately, making childcare more affordable. There's so much going on here, Colin. If you would, can you zoom out for our Wisconsin listeners and tell each and every one of us what you think is really should be top of mind as we try to filter through what is going to be a fire hose of nonsense while also really important things are happening at the same time?
Yeah, I think that folks have to pay attention to not what Donald Trump is saying, but what he's actually doing, he and his cabinet are doing, as it relates to things like following the Constitution. We saw him talk about this in his speech today, and yet his administration is apparently going to end birthright citizenship, which is a blatant violation of the Constitution. Right. They're talking about, you know, bypassing Congress to spend money at the president's discretion, not at Congress's. It is really lawless, and I guess it's not a surprise from a guy who's a convicted felon, but here we are.
Yes. Folks, that's Colin Sieberger. He is the Senior Advisor for Communications at the Center for American Progress Fund. You can find special guests from the Center for American Progress Action Fund every 3 p.m. on Mondays. They help make me smarter every week. I hope you appreciate them, too. When we come back, I'll be joined by my partner in broadcasting, Dom Salvia, who's got the great program.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. The return of President Trump. Donald Trump back in the White House after Monday's swearing-in on the Russia-Ukraine war. He said Zelensky wants to negotiate an end to the hostilities. Putin, not so sure.
He's telling me he wants to make a deal. Zelensky wants to make a deal. I don't know if Putin does. He might not. I don't know. He should make a deal. I think he's destroying Russia.
We saw him do some executive actions. Getting stuff through Congress is going to be much, much more difficult given the narrow majority. He's got the majority, but it's oh so narrow.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. Now former Vice President Harris and husband are in Southern California surveying fire damage. Their L.A. home survived the Palisades fire.
We are blessed. Our home is standing. We were under a mandatory evacuation, and it was lifted. And just a couple days ago, we're able to go back.
This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers are moving up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers moved up in the national AP Top 25 thanks to a string of wins, including beating USC over the weekend. Wisconsin now ranked 18th in the nation. They'll play UCLA tomorrow night. Marquette still highly ranked, moving down from 7th to 10th in the nation after losing to Xavier over the weekend, their first loss in the Big East Conference. Head coach Shaka Smart.
Congrats to Xavier. They came in here with phenomenal force and aggressiveness. I did think our guys showed incredible character, resiliency, fight to make it one possession. Didn't get it done.
NFL Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, 38-year-old Ben Johnson, is headed to Chicago. He'll sign the paperwork tomorrow to become the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. The Lions were eliminated by Washington over the weekend. In Atlanta, it's Ohio State against Notre Dame tonight in the title game for the College Football National Championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Comedian Dave Chappelle has made a living being funny and controversial, which is tough to do. On last weekend's Saturday Night Live, the comedian said he was tired of being controversial. During his fourth time hosting the show, Chappelle wished new President Trump good luck, joked about the LA fires, and at one point said he was never invited to a Diddy party, adding that that is a hard way to find out you're ugly. He might be tired of being controversial, but it will be interesting to see if he can avoid those urges over the next 4 years. Awards season is heating up, even for the lesser-known award events. Saudi Arabia's Joy Awards took place over the weekend and had some serious star power in attendance. Morgan Freeman was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award, which was presented by Anthony Hopkins. Matthew McConaughey was given the award for Best Personality, which is really impressive given that he makes the absolute worst commercials. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Extreme cold warning out in the overnight, as we'll see still plenty of clouds around the area. They should thin a little bit, though, towards sunrise. Temperatures nearly to 15 below. Wind chills around 30 to 35 below. And a gusty northwest breeze. Sunshine 5 above Tuesday. Right now, it's 5 below.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media
Todd
app.
Alba. Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our friend Luke Mathers is in with another edition of What's Grinding His Gears, and we'll take a look at what's worse, grocery or clothes shopping. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I hope you all are trying to filter things so that the good gets in and the negative stays at least an arm's length away. Unfortunately, I have to share with you what can only be described as some really disturbing images. Apparently, Elon Musk addressed a crowd of Donald Trump's supporters. And within the last 30 minutes, apparently, actually gave, and I'm watching the clip right now, it can only be described as a Nazi salute. He puts his hand to his heart and sticks his hand up in the air. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm watching it right now. Elon Musk is obviously not a moron and would understand what that hand gesture would connote or could connote or how it could be interpreted. Just ridiculous. Also hearing some reporting, I haven't been able to listen to the clips yet, that Donald Trump sort of admitted that he might have pulled one over on all of us, something along those lines. Again, I haven't been able to personally listen to it, but I think there is some coverage that's going to be coming out of this rally after the inauguration that can only be described as disturbing. Dom, you were a conscientious objector this morning for the inauguration. And folks, let me introduce my fabulous guest. His name is Dom Salvi. He's got the great program After Mine every Monday through Friday. He is the host of the Dom Salvia Show. Cardi's got the sound that we're listening to. You are a conscientious objector, but I'm curious to hear what this is. Dom, are you curious? Shall we take a listen just live on the air and see what we got here?
Yes, actually, I have this clip. I have heard it, and it seems like another one of those times where Donald Trump, you know, accidentally speaks the truth, question mark?
Where he's off the script and out of his mouth comes the actual stuff.
Right.
Well, my interest is piqued. Let's take a listen, Cardi.
And I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you.
That's Musk. That's the salute.
That's the Musk salute. Now, and this one, I did see it on The Independent. Not only does he slaps his heart.
His chest.
And then puts that hand straight up in the air. He turns around and does it to the crowd behind him. He does it twice. Back to back. It's very evident. It's very clear. This is not some mistake or something that could be misinterpreted. He did it twice.
Wow. I don't have words for that. I mean, I don't have words for that. That is absolutely ridiculous. Let's just start with this as a baseline. I started the show this morning with this, or this afternoon, with this little tidbit, Dom, that the billionaires that Donald Trump sat with his family right behind him on the dais at the inauguration have a net worth north of $11 trillion, approaching $12 trillion. The bottom 95% of all Americans have a net worth of around $3.6 to $3.8 trillion. I just want us to absorb those facts.
Yes.
Right? Like, that is the difference. Why is that okay? Why is a completely transactional president acceptable? I guess we could go into all of the reasons for the, people staying home during the election cycle, being uninspired by both candidates. But that doesn't mean like actually just go full grift, full transactional, full embrace of Nazism. Like, that's not what people actually voted for. They didn't vote for corruption. I think whatever people may think about Donald Trump, they actually thought they were voting to try to stop those things. Why does he think he can go like full corrupt?
Why would people think that would be the case? If you're down, and certainly the institutions that all of us rely on have failed us to a certain degree, Maggie Dawn, our justice system did not fulfill its obligations, in my humble opinion. So if you're looking for someone to blow the whole thing up, well, what are some of those institutions and legacy issues? Well, they combat this kind of action. They're there to combat the corruption, the grift, and the greed, to temper it. So if you're going to try to blow the whole thing up, Well, why wouldn't you? The guy just released his meme coins and has like $60 billion on paper before he became the president. I mean, if this is a pure cash grab to the nth degree, and if you're out there making your $15 an hour and thinking like you're getting stiffed and you're not getting a raise and things are tough, and you go out and you vote for a guy like Donald Trump who's got $11 trillion sitting behind him, who made his own, apparently on paper, with this whole scheme of billions and billions of dollars prior to walking into the White House, you know, maybe you should reassess whether or not this is a guy who's going to be out there lowering the price of eggs, because they're already backing off of that promise.
Well, it's my entire show, I've basically been ticking off, you know, his hot topics from the inauguration speech. It's like, none of that has anything to do with helping the middle class do better.
No.
If anything, the things that he's promising to do will make things more expensive and more difficult for the middle class. It's just, wow. I'm still trying to grapple through the Elon Musk Nazi salute three times to a crowd of support. And by the way, I thought this was rich this morning, as Mike Pence, who attended this inauguration alone, did not bring his wife, as he was walking into the Capitol Rotunda, the people in the hockey rink, you know, who didn't really rate a front row seat because they don't have billions. The people in the hockey rink down the road booed Mike Pence.
Booed? They weren't chanting "Hang Mike Pence" again, were they? It was just straight up boos?
It was just straight up booze.
I mean, that's a positive turn for the former vice president. If you're only getting
they did get in some lock her up for Hillary, though.
And mother stayed out? Mother stayed home? Interesting.
Fascinating. No mother appearing. You know, I'd never think I would ever say this, that Michelle Obama and Mrs. Mike Pence apparently have a very similar BS limit. Like, and this is it. Yeah. I am not going to this guy's inauguration. Okay, we've got the clip of Donald Trump admitting that maybe there was some hanky-panky going on. Let's take a listen.
But he went out to Pennsylvania after that. Musk. He landed that rocket nobody had ever seen. By the way, China can't do it. Russia can't do it or come close. It would be 10 years before they can do it. And the U.S. can't do it except for him. And it's pretty amazing. But he did that. And then he journeyed to Pennsylvania, where he spent like a month and a half campaigning for me in Pennsylvania. And he's a popular guy. And he was very effective. And he knows those computers better than anybody. All those computers, those vote counting computers. Mm. And we ended up winning Pennsylvania like in a landslide. So it was pretty good. So thank you to Elon.
The very cool landing of the rocket booster to, you know, out there promoting me, helping me out in Pennsylvania. What does that have to do with anything with the vote count and the computers that Elon Musk apparently is an expert in?
Nothing. Nothing. It's like saying a podiatrist is also a brain surgeon. Like, you're good at one tech thing doesn't mean like, oh, you know them computers. It shows you like the depth of Donald Trump's ignorance when it comes to all things tech. By the way, and I think you were talking about this, his cryptocurrency got like a massive chunk of seed money from a Chinese billionaire about a month and a half ago, which brought him up to the total seed money where now everything is going to be profit. And they're estimating, by the way, there's no limits on foreign governments or people that want to peddle, you know, trade for influence, that his family may end up making northwards of like $8 billion a year off the crypto, because it can effectively be, it's like a money laundering scheme. I don't know all the particulars about it. I'm going to spend some time on that, but it's like, it is. It's just widespread grift. Thanks, Elon, for delivering Pennsylvania. If giving people $1 million check for their votes in support of me wasn't quite enough, I'm really glad you got in there with those voting and election machines.
Yeah, how is that? I'm really looking forward to some sort of follow-up question with that. With regard to the meme coin issue with Trump and rolling it out with the way they did and all the insiders, hell, Melania's got her own now. She rolled hers out. It went up to a few billion, actually took a few billion away from Trump, to my understanding on the reading. But here's the thing. Back in the day, you used to have to go out and buy their book. Right, you have to buy it. Maybe give all this money to the campaign to buy up 100,000 books and then burn them all, because that's not the point. It's just to facilitate. And then Trump, you know, he upped the game. He bought a hotel, and then people had to, like, pretend to stay at the hotel, and that'd be another way to just, you know, transfer the money from the folks to Donald Trump directly. Now the guy's got his own meme coin.
Just crypto.
It just give me the money.
Just give me the money.
Just give me the money.
It's no longer show me the money. I just want some Jerry Maguire back. I want some Rod, you know, spiking a football. I need a little show me the money, not just give me the money, and then I'll deregulate your industry and punish foreign European countries if they try to restrict your spread of misinformation and garbage. I mean, why is it all the tech billionaires that are giving Donald Trump all this money? Well, because they want their crap deregulated, and they want Donald to punish the countries that actually try to say you have a responsibility to your users, that this doesn't become a cesspool of lies and hate and the most vile things that human beings can dream up. It is, you use your pen, your power to tariff, to punish people who don't cooperate with my industry, who don't cooperate with my megalomania, my penis rocket aspirations, and my I want to control all of AGI for all the time to come. That's why it's concentrated in the tech bro universe. It's not just it's very specifically tech bros, because that is the regulatory risk or tipping point that we find ourselves at. And that's what scares me the most, Dom. Deportations, bad. The LGBTQ hate, bad. The woman hating, the race baiting, all of that bad. But probably, along with climate, the two most significant risks to all of humankind are both in climate, and then, of course, how is tech going to be deployed in a militaristic and privacy eviscerating way in the future? How much of ourselves can be sold to the highest bidder over the internet? And if it's Donald Trump making the rules, there will be no rules. Period. Full stop. Unbelievable. Folks, I'm joined by my special guest who joins me every Monday at 3:30. His name's Dom Salve. He's got the fine program that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. We like to call this, in case you missed it, because sometimes I can get things that Dom missed. Sometimes he's got things that I missed. It's a lot of fun here. Folks, you want to participate? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I got to give a special bit of love to the following texters and participators. Gary from Madison, Cam from Appleton, all of you, Bill Kabinski from Green Bay. I really appreciate all of the info flowing in, and a special big shout out and love to you, Lauren in Eau Claire, who says that she has chosen Civic Media over NPR for the past 6 months because we cover the stuff that no one else is talking about. Big love to you, Lauren. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, everybody out there, really appreciate it. Here's Mark Cuban today on X. If meme coins are the way, maybe I'll issue one with a twist. Same terms as Dalla Dalla Bill Trump, yo. A 20% float, same release schedule, one difference. All the revenue from the sale of the coins goes to the U.S. Treasury. The wallet address will be published so that everybody can track it. If you want to gamble, gamble, but at least use it to make a dent in the U.S. debt. Hey, there you go. Maybe one day we'll have some billionaires using their superpowers for good. Mark Cuban, I appoint you number one billionaire to figure that out. When we come back, we're going to talk about the last hour of Joe Biden's presidency and some of the pardons that he dropped with my special guest, Dom Salve. You're not going to want to miss this last bit of discussion. What does that portend for the Trump pardons? We discuss next. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversations. So join this one. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Power to the people and you. Let's stop the billionaires from taking over our government. It's just like, how many times do we have to review the Cliff Note version of this? You know, Elon Musk's wealth has just skyrocketed since Donald Trump's election for all the reasons that we've talked about. And here are the facts. Let me see if I can find the exact statistics. It's something like $5 trillion worth of wealth has moved from the bottom 95% of us to the top 1% of us. I mean, that's in, let me get this exactly right, because it's not $5 trillion, Dom. It's worse than that. It's a scale of 10 larger. Since 1981, as much as $50 trillion has moved from the bottom 90% to the top 1%.
No wonder why people feel like they haven't gotten a raise in 50 years.
Right?
There's a reason for that.
It's just, after World War II, the top marginal tax rate was 91%. Today, 37%, with Donald Trump's promise to bring it down to 25%. I'm sure that'll help with our deficit. But I promised that we would talk about the pardons. Let's start with the most interesting of them. I think the most important of them. And that was Donald Trump's pardon. And not pardon, commutation of the balance of his sentence for Leonard Peltier.
Biden. I'm sorry. Biden did that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Did I say Trump? Sorry. Yeah. So many things happening this afternoon. Joe Biden's commutation of the balance of the sentence for Leonard Peltier, a Native American activist who was one of several people involved in a firefight in 1975 that killed FBI agents Ronald Arthur Williams and Jack Ross Kohler on South Dakota's Pine Ridge Reservation. He was the only person convicted in connection with their deaths. Two of his fellow activists were also charged in the murders, but were acquitted on evidence. Peltier's defense was actually not allowed to present at his trial.
Yeah.
Amnesty International, Pope Francis, Nelson Mandela had all called for his release. Your reaction to this? I got text messages from a number of my First Nation friends celebrating his commutation and thanking President Biden for same.
Yeah, I mean, it's long overdue. Symbolically great, little late. The guy's like 80 years old and has lots of health problems, but at least he'll spend his remaining days not confined for this act. In a circumstance where he was with other folks that could not present the evidence that may have exonerated him and put him in jail for all these years.
Yeah, the advocates for his commutation or pardon have pointed to the admission by a key witness in his conviction that she had lied, both about witnessing the murders and her own relationship to Peltier, as well as a juror who was seated despite admitting to prejudice against Native Americans. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Hey, Donald, that's what actual like rigged system looks like. Not what you received, buddy. I mean, congratulations to Mr. Peltier, his family, and the entire Native American advocacy community and all First Nation peoples. It was time. I also wanted to talk about Joe Biden pardoning. Literally, this pardon was announced at about 11:50 a.m. East Coast time, right like minutes before Donald Trump was to take the oath of office and become the 47th president of the United States. President Biden pardoning numerous members of his family. Your reaction to this, Dom?
Terrible. I have a big problem with this, and for all sorts of reasons, precedent notwithstanding. A president has never pardoned people neither charged nor suspected of wrongdoing. You know, my whole thing was when you accept a pardon, I think it was the sheriff, Joe Arpaio, when he accepted, you know, there's an admission of the guilt, right? You accept the crime that you were accused of. What are the crimes? What are the crimes? Under what circumstances are his family accepting these pardons? It's not just his family, the J6 committee, Milley as well. What were their crimes? Why go down this
road? How about the January 6th officers? He pardoned a number of police officers that have been outspoken following the January 6th event.
What's the crime? What is the pardon? What, a blanket pardon?
But that's not, I mean, that's not why he's pardoning them, right? He's pardoning them because there is a, I think, fairly legitimate belief that Donald Trump will try to do what he has derided the entire time in the last 4 years, and that is weaponize the Department of Justice and the FBI under the leadership of Kash Patel and Pam Bondi to persecute political opponents and those that spoke out against him. I think, to me, I understand the practical impetus for the pardon. The thing that worries me is, what does this portend? Is
right.
It sort of conceding the point that, like, yeah, go ahead and engage in political prosecutions?
Yes, it says all sorts of bad things. Number one, it says you don't have faith. If these folks are innocent, didn't do anything wrong, then any sort of weaponization of the DOJ would be folly, right? So either they did something wrong, you're concerned about them being, found guilty by a jury of their peers. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have faith in the system. Maybe they did something wrong. You know, I think if you're going to be in this role, you're going to stand up there and be Fauci, you're going to be up there and be Milley. You know, you do it with conviction and you take your chances. I don't, because now what's going to happen? This is precedent. Now Donald Trump is going to sell all the pardons and give them all away on his way out of town when these $11 trillion folks are working the system over to put more money into their pocket and crap it on the rest of us. And now then he'll just do the same thing. I think it's a terrible precedent.
It is complicating times. We always try to break it down here every day. I do my best for each and every one of you. You got Dom Salvia coming up next with his fine program. That concludes mine for this Monday Inauguration Day. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to each and every one of you. Remember, we can continue this grand American project that requires honesty, fearlessness, and commitment to the promise that America is, which doesn't mean erasing our history or, you know, selling it all to the highest bidder. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but always remember.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, when did Republicans embrace rule by executive order? We dive in with John Nichols from the Cap Times and Nation Magazine. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Once again, Donald Trump is president of the United States.
From this moment on, America's decline is over.
The 47th president, during his inaugural address, promises galore.
All illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came.
The ACLU is suing after the president said he wants to do away with birthright citizenship. A U.S. Border Patrol officer was killed. Happened on I-91 in Coventry, Vermont, south of the border with Canada. Authorities say one suspect was also shot dead and a second suspect taken into custody. Ohio State, your national champion of college football. The 13-2 Buckeyes dispatched the 14-1 Notre Dame Fighting Irish 34-23 in the college football playoff championship game. This is ABC News. Warnings of extreme cold from the Rockies to the north.